If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and truth that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Our seminar is a question that we can ask ourselves. Is your belief system serving you? Is what you believe truly helpful? So if you're ready to inquire into this, take a deep breath and ask for your clearance. Whatever you need to be present here and now, offering the clearest channel through which that higher presence can clothe your understanding. Allow the spirit of truth, the divine spirit, to clothe your mind and your understanding with truth. And if you feel anything blocking, ask at this time that whatever could possibly be lifted through grace, that be done now for you, according to your highest good. Take another deep breath and consciously receive and integrate and allow that greeting, that greater understanding to flow from your spirit, soul, into your mind. And try to get that understanding all the way down into your sneakers. In other words, incorporate and allow it to embody and spark a higher awareness in every part of your being. That's it. Good. Some of you are really lighting up. Wow. Very good. You see, every one of our seminars is impartational and activational. So it's not so much what is said, it's the energy of light encodements that use the voice of the instrument to flow through and to bring that quickening, which results in you having a sudden understanding that arises within you, because the codes of light touch to that part, and suddenly you see more clearly. So what do you believe? Where did you acquire that belief? And is it working for you? Or is it blocking your greater good? Let's start with something Jesus had to say in Lesson 32 of the workbook of A Course in Miracles. You are not the victim of the world you see, because you have invented it. You can give it up as easily as you made it up. You will see it or not see it as you wish. While you want it, you will see it. When you no longer want it, it will not be there for you to see. So this idea applies to your inner and your outer worlds, which are actually the same. However, since you see them as different, we're going to practice a meditation right now that will include two phases. One involving the world that you see outside of yourself. And two, the world that you see in your mind. So lesson 32 in A Course in Miracles is, I have invented the world I see. So let's take a deep breath and ask the Holy Spirit, which Jesus is the embodiment of, to come into our understanding in a new way and illumine our mind with the truth. So now just take a few moments and look around you at the world you see outside of yourself. Just look very naturally, without straining, without trying to accord specialness to anything that you're looking at. And tell yourself, I have invented the world I see. And now close your eyes and look around your inner world. Try to keep both your inner and your outer world seen as equally as possible. Repeat the idea for today, I have invented the world I see. And as unhurriedly and as neutrally as possible, just watch the images your imagination presents to your awareness. Just allow the images to come up. And as they do, simply remind yourself, I have invented the world I see. And then as you go through the day, whenever any slightest distress may arise in you, you can simply remind yourself, I have invented this situation as I see it. And open your eyes. And just be present here and now. That is the most wonderful, freeing exercise. Spiritual exercise that you could do as you go through your day, as situations arise, as you notice yourself starting to get a little bit uptight, stressed. So we all have this latent ability to be self-defined and self-determined. In other words, to choose how we see something, to choose the interpretation we place upon the things that happen in our lives. Do we perceive ourselves as being the victim of a situation, which would be how the ego would view things? Or do you realize that you actually have a choice in how you interpret something and how you see it, which would then very much condition how it unfolds for you? You have to realize the power of conscious self-governing, self-directing, self-determining, and not just go unconscious and let things happen willy-nilly. So we choose always how we respond to life's events. Yet you'll notice very few people examine or exercise that ability. I think primarily because they don't know it's an option. We're simply not trained in the Western world to any belief that's truly helpful. We're told all about how to make a living without ever being instructed how to truly come alive and live a life. But we also, when we're very, very hungry, we'll find whatever we need to do to nourish ourselves. And whatever we nourish will increase. And so it's important that we nourish who we truly are as a divine consciousness, as a divine spirit, along with the body, and training ourselves to make a living and be self-supporting in this world. You know, there's a place for everything. But we're not here to simply survive physically and make a living. That is what could be called the 10% level of our life. We're really here to fully awaken to who we've always been and what we remain eternally. So let's bring our belief systems under scrutiny. Let's have the daring to really look and see what it is we've bought into that we're allowing to direct our life force and our outcomes, and define for us what is real. So you might find that an odd approach. I mean, who really questions what they believe or how they came to believe that or why? So ask just about anyone, and they'll give you a blank look. Or at best, perhaps say, well, that's just what I've been taught. Or that's just, you know, the tradition in our church or in our religion or in our lifestyle. Or that's just the way it is. You know, a few might say, well, it's just my fate or my karma. But practically no one, except perhaps a more awakened soul here and there, ever questions why they believe as they do, or more importantly, to ask and look to see if it's serving them. So we need to ask ourselves, if our belief system is really fostering our well-being, and is it truly helpful? Well, I have some very good news for you. Absolutely nothing that makes you fearful, worried, or unhappy is real. Absolutely nothing that makes you unhappy is real. That's something that Jesus brings forward again and again and again in A Course in Miracles. And I know many of you who are listening are students of A Course in Miracles, which kind of takes your whole understanding of who you are and what life is about and turns it exactly upside down. It reverses everything that we've been taught to believe in education, by science, by religion, by the world view. It turns it upside down. And it especially turns upside down what we've been taught in Christianity to believe is the uniqueness of Jesus in his physical body. It's like the ego has completely distorted the teachings of Jesus to where he's the only one the greatest one that has ever awakened fully to his oneness with the Father. And yet Jesus said he is the first born or the elder brother who went before us and awakened within this time-space illusion to invite us all to become the living sons of God who are led of the divine spirit just as he was. Who is that divine spirit? What is it? It's you, your God self inside yourself. It's that reality that Jesus said was the kingdom of God that's within you. And that God self takes the form of an inner guide that shows you and reveals to you and teaches you everything that you need to know. So the only thing for us is to begin to source into that for our guidance instead of looking outside all the time to someone else or something else or some doctrine or some belief system that's really somebody else's concoction. So you don't really have to do anything but recognize that unhappy thoughts and beliefs are simply not true. So you recognize that whenever you are not at peace, it's because you are reacting to something that is not there. Oh, it sure seems like it's there, I know. Just like your dreams seem like you're really in those situations while you're dreaming. The world is like that. That's why all the Illumined Masters refer to it as a dream, and our daily life as a dream from which we are awakening. However, the Holy Spirit will not awaken you to where it would engender fear. So it comes very gently where we're willing to reconsider how we're seeing something. It comes when we request to see something from a higher point of view. It comes when we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to have its way with us and bring into our minds the things that God would have us realize. But it will not inflict on your free will to do it your way and in your own timing. And it will honor every step that you make, Godward, or to say, truthward. You can never fail when that is your intention. You simply cannot fail when you want to know truth, when you want to know the divine self. When you want to come nearer to the divine presence. Those, and however you may seek these things, you are assured of success. There's never any failure. There are experiences, however, that you call forward to help you discern the real from the unreal. You get practice run, so to speak. So you learn to recognize that whenever you are not wholly joyous, you've reacted unlovingly to one of God's creations. That's a quote from Jesus in the Course in Miracles. So you recognize whenever you are not at peace, you are reacting to something that is not there. And whenever you are not wholly joyous, You've reacted unlovingly to one of God's creations. That's why you feel so awful when you've given somebody a piece of your mind instead of the loving of your heart. And that includes everything. You will not feel happy when you are abusing anything in creation. I don't care if it's a cushion on your couch. I've become so sensitive that I can't even toss a cushion on the couch. I have to put it with love and awareness, gently. Everything I use it with respect, knowing that everything that appears to be a form is actually the light and the love of God that mind has woven into a particular object. And so you come to honor everything in your life, to give it your full attention while you're using it, while you're handling it. Because God is in everything you see. So our egoic world consists of images that we've made up. These are the false idols. They're false images that seem real but are not. Only what we create with God, that is to say, out of our divine self, our God self, is real. And as I've often said, we can never not create because we're made in the image and likeness of our Creator, through which creation constantly is taking place. It's either eternal creation that we create with God in the higher aspects of ourself, or it's the false creations of the ego, which are really not creations at all. They're mistaken or false identifications and images that we have made. But they really have no effect on us at the higher level, and they actually aren't real at all. It looks like they're real, but they're not. So unless our creations reflect our Creator's glory, majesty, and perfect love, they are simply ego projections and therefore false. However, the creations we create with God are safely secured in a divine reality beyond the touch of the ego's nightmarish world. So as we awaken to truth, the nightmarish dream dissolves, as all dreams do, whether scary or pleasant, and all one need do is turn on the light. You don't try to fix the darkness. You don't try to battle the darkness. You simply recognize it's a false image appearing real, and you ignore it. Put the light on it. Dissolve it. So we're being divinely guided to question every unhappy, dispirited, depressing thought that arises, and simply to dismiss it as not true. You just dismiss it. You don't do anything more than recognize it's simply not true, and you let it go. Now, every true thought is accompanied by a positive sense of upliftment. You have feelings, both physical senses and more subtle levels of those senses, at each level would give you feelings, gives you feedback as you move through your environment, whether you're in this outer dream or the inner dream. You're moving amongst images, and they're giving you feedback because they're vibrations. And you're learning to tune in to how things feel that are the creations that you projected out there, either with ego or with God. So every positive thought is free of doubt, and it just settles at ease within you. So So observe how your thoughts affect you. And choose those which abide at ease within your heart and mind. There's such an ease when you live in the truth. When you live in the holy thoughts that you share with God. So those are the thoughts that are divinely inspired. And you learn to recognize also the ego's thoughts and the ego's belief system. And bear in mind, the ego always suggests lack and causes you to feel strain and stress. So pay attention. The ego always is in a way condemning you and demeaning you and causing you to doubt yourself. Why does it do that? Because it wants to keep you confined to its realm, its illusion, because that's how it survives, keeping you from waking up. It's aware that the minute you wake up, it's going to lose and dissipate and dissolve into nothingness. And so every thought form tries to perpetrate itself. And right now, people are clearing like mad. You probably have noticed suddenly that your dreams and your wool gathering when you're just sitting and doing nothing, seemingly, these thoughts come up, old images, old lovers, old experiences, old wounds, old desires that you thought you had long since released, old grievances that you could have sworn you had forgiven and released maybe years ago. All of a sudden they're up for review again. They're in your face. And of the thousands and thousands of people I have counseled basically since I was 8 years old, I have yet to find one single problem that people bring forward that wasn't entirely unreal, but that they had bought into as a belief and given it power in some way. John Roger has taught us, my spiritual teacher, that everything in our life we have allowed, created, invited, opened the door to, prayed for, requested, everything is in our life at our request. Why? Well, so we can exercise discernment between the real and the unreal, the truth and the illusion, darkness and light, death and immortality. So everything can serve in our spiritual advancement and life enhancement if we use it with that in mind. If we select carefully what energy we put out and our intention, and our thoughts, and our overall objective in life. Because that is what we are putting our life force into, and that is what will be real to us. As Jesus said in Lesson 32, it will be there that way as long as we want it to appear that way. But no matter how we try to finagle our life and control and manipulate and fix and reinvent, it is absolutely nothing compared to what we have been forever and remain eternally as God created us. Nothing is as magnificent as who and what we've always been and remain still. So it's only this little false belief and separation from eternal good that floats in front of the sun of our magnificence, little dark cloud, which we can just blow away, just that simple. There was an exercise in, I think it was a book written by, I can't remember now who wrote it. I was thinking Wayne Dyer, but I don't think it actually he wrote it. But there's an exercise for children where they blow out the little me and they inhale the great me. And it works just as well for children of all ages, including you and me. And we can just blow out and release into the holy presence of God what we don't want to carry anymore. And the simplest exercise Jesus gives us in A Course in Miracles is to recognize whenever we're not wholly joyous and completely at peace, that we turn to the Holy Spirit within us, the divine self that we are, the inner master, and admit we don't like how we're feeling, and realize that perhaps we have chosen in error, and ask to be shown the Holy Spirit's point of view, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of whatever it is. And for some reason, that brings up less resistance from our lower self to suggest that perhaps we have looked at something in a way that is not working for us. And what is the harm in asking to be shown another way of looking at something? But you see, that little willingness allows an inner correction to take place that was not available if we simply ignored it and let it go, or tried to rationalize it, as the ego usually tries to do. The ego can never admit it's wrong. It will fight tooth and nail to be right and to win in its own story. So that's the uptightness that you feel sometimes in your stomach when your point of view is questioned or someone comes at you and attacks your belief system. You get that uptightness in the stomach. That's the ego. That's the lower nature fighting to be right. And nowhere will you find the ego more clearly expressed, if you could use clarity of expression in terms of the ego, as when a person is fighting to be right. There you will see the ego in full display. Because the ego absolutely cannot admit there's a power greater than itself. And it will try to prove that to you by all of these false suggestions that it tries to get you to buy into that would disempower you and rob from you the divine authority you have, God-given authority, to exercise your divine sonship, to exercise that divine Christ, that Christ itself, that anointed self, that truly is your own salvation, your own wholeness, your own atonement, your own reconciliation of the many disparate parts of your nature into oneness with God. So we're being guided in every moment, day and night, to abide in the real world we share forever with our Creator. That world has been called the Kingdom of God, inner spiritual awareness, Chaitanya, Christ consciousness, the Buddha mind, the awakened mind. We could also call it living in grace. Because when you're flowing in harmony with that part of yourself, there's an ease, a flow, a perfect timing, everything unfolds without your effort, simply because you've been rightly oriented within yourself. And you are allowing that which is greater to live through you as you. That is living in grace. So, the divine spirit within us, which is our inner master, it's our God self that takes the form of the inner tutor, the inner master, the intuition, that speaks to us through our conscience. And when the conscience is quiet, we know we're in the right direction. And when it begins to niggle at the periphery of our being with some form of guilt, we know we've gone off track somehow. We've acted in a judgmental, unloving way to ourselves or another being or a situation. And it's to make you stop and reconsider, repent. In other words, rethink your direction and come back into alignment with the loving, which is the grace manifesting of God through you. Grace is God manifesting as perfect ease and flow and alignment within you. So we're giving these simple keys that we can each use to set ourselves free of false beliefs and thought patterns. So, very simply, if it is not wholly joyous, uplifting and peaceful, it's simply not in alignment with truth. And if it is wholly joyous, uplifting, and peaceful, it's the divine within you manifesting. So any element of fear, negativity, depression, if any such feelings arise, it is that false element that we need to discern and ask the Holy Spirit to correct our vision. So it's very simple if we choose to remember. If we choose to remember, that's it. We need to choose to turn to the one within us that knows. So your master teacher is your own inner God self. You can call it God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Christ, Sai Baba, Divine Mother, your higher self, the mystical traveler, or any other name that works for you. But it is all one and the same. And this inner master speaks to you through your feelings and your conscience. So pay attention. Quite simply, truth feels clearer. Very seldom will anyone ask me a question when they're operating through truth, because questions simply don't arise. When you feel clear inside yourself, mentally, physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, it's simply clear. And there's no need to ask. So the divine spirit brings a very pristine clarity when you're operating through grace. It just feels so wonderful that once you have that reference point, you just never want to, well, you just can't stand not feeling clear. It becomes intolerable. But it's getting to that place where you recognize what it feels like when things are completely aligned within you. And there isn't any doubt. There aren't any questions. There isn't any second guessing. It just feels clear. So your heart mind, consciousness, feel clear, and guilt-free. Guilt always arises from the accuser. The accuser is the false self. So when there's no inner red flags coming up, no inner checks, no hesitations, and no reservations, then you know it's clear. But if you have the slightest little nudge that it doesn't feel quite aligned, you best serve yourself by saying that. It doesn't feel clear to me to do this or whatever, or to say this, or agree to this. And you learn to be very true and very loyal to your own self, your own divine self. So for any belief or thought to be useful, it must lead us to greater self-confidence. Self-confidence and self-reliance and self-truth is the very necessary foundation for full self-realization. And that's when we fully awaken to the divine self we've always been. So that's why everything depends upon yourself. And you learn again to discern the difference between your greater God self, with a capital S, and the ego self, which is usually the mind. So the self we are learning to recognize, trust, and heed is also the same as what we'd call the inner master or the inner teacher or the inner God self. So observe how the inner teacher always guides by positive affirmation and direction. You'll never hear the inner teacher criticize you, judge you, point out your limitations and your failures. That is invariably the ego. So you learn not to heed that, because the divine self only sees your truth and your reality and your wholeness and your perfection. It may guide you not to go in certain directions by giving those little red flags or those little checks in your spirit, but it will never condemn you in any way, shape, or form. And that's how you can tell the false voice that sometimes speaks in your head and the voice for God, which is the Holy Spirit or your divine God self within. So the ego likes to judge, condemn, and do anything it can to cause you to become self-doubtful and fearful. To doubt yourself is probably the only real devil you ever need to confront. Self-doubt. Cast it out. But don't just trust your own mind and your own cleverness as a human being. Trust the God self within you and the grace of that to be all-sufficient in every area of your life. The ego, on the other hand, wants you to disbelieve your higher counsel. It wants you to become discouraged, dispirited, depressed, hopeless, anxious, stressed out, and to forget the whole thing. It wants you to give up the spiritual path because it knows it will. That will be the end of it. That will be the end of the ego. So the ego seeks to control and manipulate outcomes. It's always trying to block your higher knowing, your higher understanding. And it's because all false things, even, you know, all thought forms, whether they're false or true, seek to perpetrate themselves and to strengthen themselves by joining with others of like frequency. Well, you have to watch the company you keep. But the company you keep involves everything you intake through your senses. Everything you watch, everything you read, the company you hang out with, everything you put into your mind is either fortifying the truth or fortifying the falsehood. And we all have 24 hours of the day down here in this time-space illusion. And we can't waste time. So this higher awareness of our true nature has only been veiled by the belief in separation. You know, that's it. It's just, that's the only thing that the ego is a false belief in separation from good. All good or all God. So what would be some positive beliefs that would be helpful? Any belief that fortifies your faith in the divine, that strengthens your confidence in fully relying upon the divine, anything that aids and assists you in being true to yourself, and true to what you understand in the highest sense of your present understanding, that would be helpful. That would be useful, even though you realize that you're constantly upgrading as you strengthen and mature in your spiritual understanding. You're always going to be letting go. And you don't even have to forcibly eject things. You just have to see them for what they are and let them bypass you if they don't lend quality to your higher nature. If they're not nourishing your spiritual sense of self, they will fall away all by themselves. Every useless belief, every less than useful habit and thought pattern simply falls away on their own as you keep bringing in greater light and you keep expanding your love, your understanding, your goodwill, your compassion, your forgiveness, looking beyond the faults, not making a big deal of the faults, not feeding it by resisting it or fighting it or criticizing and condemning it. But instead, you keep focused on the good and the divine in yourself, in every situation in life, in every place and person. And you let the rest go. And you find that you're walking without a conflicted self. So many people are in a war with their own nature. They fight their thoughts. They fight their nature. They fight their habits. And of course, the more you resist, the more whatever it is you're resisting will persist. Why don't you open your arms and embrace all the children of your consciousness, all the little images that you have created? Why don't you just open your arms to so many dirty little kids and take them into your arms and bathe them in light and love? You know, everything wants your blessing. It's so interesting. Everything is like a needy child coming to you for your good graces, for your blessing, for your benediction. That's why you don't fight darkness. Because when you are full of light, that's all you see. And as long as you're seeing any element of evil or darkness, you are in a conflicting state of consciousness. You're caught up in the illusion of good and evil, of opposites, a polarity of otherness. All of these false beliefs completely vanish when you enter in to the perfect love that is your nature. It should be so easy to be our nature. Our nature is godlike. And the only thing that brings that godlikeness into question is a false self. Yeah. Which really has no actual reality apart from the mind. The lower mind is the form, the only form that the ego has, which does all it can to convince you that you are unlike your creator. So it should be very simple to turn to your creator who dwells within you as your greater self and ask for those thoughts and those beliefs to be dissolved through grace. And that you be shown another way to see, another way to interpret, another way to look through God's eyes. Because God really is the one who is looking through your eyes. The presence of God is really who you are. And that perfection can only see perfection. It actually does not acknowledge the ego at all, because that divine, holy, perfect self has no ability to see except the truth. It perceives only the divine perfection that is. So all of this outer nightmare of warring and conflict and struggle and strife and sickness and death and old age, those are all illusions which absolutely vanish as you awaken to full God realization. And since we're all somewhere in that process, at different stages, we will select those useful beliefs, those things that are truly helpful, and we'll use them as temporary tools, as workable keys to keep us rightly focused. You could look at positive belief systems, like training wheels that keep you upright, that keep you headed in the right direction, that keep you from falling over into a ditch of despair. So they're useful. But every single one of them you're going to outgrow. You will outgrow every religion, every belief system, every outer authority, every guru, everything that you have looked to outside of yourself is eventually going to be bypassed as you begin to source from within. You began to live from that greater God presence within you. And you no longer need the training wheels. So you need to keep your mind constantly discerning and transcending where you were yesterday, the last moment. And as you stay here and now, here and now, here and now, and walk in the light of your God-knowing arising from within, choosing those particular thoughts that align with that truth. with that well-being. And you feel and you intuit and you sense what brings that clarity and that well-being and that sense of fullness begins to rise up within you. You feel full inside. You realize that everything has been given you and you can only deprive yourself temporarily. But in highest truth, everything that we can conceive of about God is our own state, which, as we transcend, believing that we're a body and a mind limited to a time-space continuum, when we awaken beyond that false belief, we find that we are at home within an ever-expanding divine creation, all-encompassing love, a sense of beingness that inhabits every star, every particle of existence. And we flow as the living song of God, the Bhagavad Gita, the living word of God, the melody that each of us emits in the cosmic chorus of life. And we are the light, we are the love, we are the omnipresence of the all that is. And we have a destiny and a function beyond our imagining at this level. It has to be taken by faith and trust, and allowing the awe of the unfathomable glory of God to draw us into itself, to court and woo us, and draw us into divine recognition of our union, of our eternal communion with that beloved. So as you go through your day, keep reminding yourself that this is an image that I have made. Let it be replaced by the awareness of the creations that I share with God. Let it be lit by heaven's loveliness, by that eternal beauty that is the divine. Show me, Divine Spirit, how to see this through your eyes. And illumine my mind and my heart with my own divine God presence. Help me to move in to that state, and to dwell in it as I move through the day, as I move from the physical body and identifying with it to an expanded sense of spaciousness and unlimited being. And as you keep turning your thoughts to the Holy Spirit, or realigning with truth for clarification, or sense of direction, you will find that the whole way you see begins to shift until you live literally in the presence of love all the time. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. Because fear will forevermore be the false and the unreal. And love indeed is all there is. And you are that. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to bring its anointing and its seal upon what it has shared with us tonight, that it may permeate our whole understanding and simply dissolve the little dark bubbles, the little false images. See them just pop like so many little soap bubbles, and the light to fill your mind with the thoughts that you share with God. And let's go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. On I are the love, the holiness, and the blessings of God clothed in your human form. Remember that. Namaste.